Welcome to Miracles of God with Pastors Joel and Annalisa Jones. Not to serve somebody, might as well serve the Lord. Everyone wants to live under the blessings of the Lord, but we have to be in the right position in God to receive all He has for us. God told Abraham to arise, walk in the land through its length and its width, for I give it to you. Abraham had to get up and step into God's promises. In today's message, Pastor Joel breaks down what it means to step into God's purpose and promises.
We got to learn to pray and worship God in spirit and in truth. We all have to learn to assemble ourselves, the Lord said. Assemble ourselves in Bible study, both during the week as well as in service on the weekend. Praying both corporately as well as privately. Some people don't get that. I don't know. I'm just putting out what the Lord told me. And He said, praying in between time. Huh? You said, that's a lot of praying. I ain't never done that before. I mean, I pray in the morning. I pray before I eat. You know, pray that the food tastes good. But, you know, preacher, I'm praying. Well, that's what the Lord is saying. These things have to be paramount in our walks in Christ. And let me take you to another text of scripture which should help to explain, help you to understand what it means to step up by God's standards. Pastor, take us to the book of Psalms and take us to Psalm 32, verses 8 to 9, please. Let's read that one and see what it says.
Psalm 32, verses 8 and 9 tells us, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle, else they will not come near you.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor. That's the Lord saying, I will instruct you in the way that you should go. I'll guide you with my eye. All right. That verse tells us that the Lord is there. He's promising to lead us, folks. He's promising to teach us which way to go. The Lord says, I'm there to counsel you in every way that you should go. I'm going to teach you how to operate, okay? This passage specifically tells us that God seeks to guide us with his eye. That phrase has parallel meaning in another phrase in the Bible, which God says his eyes are on the righteous. He's got us covered. He's in us, so he's looking through us. All right, can you imagine that? Can you imagine seeing out of the eyes of God? He says, I'm going to guide you with my eye. That means you're going to see things as God sees things if you are a child of God. You're going to see what God wants you to see. He's going to make it evident to you. Like the Bible says in the book of John, it tells us that the Holy Spirit will guide you, lead and guide you into all truth, right? He's going to guide you into all truth. So that's what he's talking about, this phrase. So we as God's people have to understand that God is seeking to guide us and prepare us, to teach us to meet his standards and guidelines. He's going to teach us these things. These are guidelines for our future and for his divine purpose. Do we see that in verse 8? That's what it's saying. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I'll guide you with my eye. You have nothing to fear. So it should be very clear concerning what the Lord intends to do for us in this passage. I hope you all see that. Obviously, God intends to bring us to a different place, another state of development. That's what he's talking about. He's taking us to another level. Remember, I said it's a stair-step effect. He wants us to step up in some areas. I don't know all the areas that God wants us, in which God wants us to step up. I don't really know your personal life. I don't even know all of my heart's desires. But I know I have to tune into the Lord so he can get me to where I need to be, just like you all do. Okay? That level must be a step up, because throughout the Bible, we're taught that God wants us to be transformed into whose image? His image, into the image of God. So it's got to be a step up because we ain't there yet, y'all. So you know he's not going to teach you to step down. He's going to teach you to step up into his image and mindset. So it's not rocket science that a stepping up is in order. But here's the question. Okay. Why then does it say in the very next verse, verse 9, to not be like the horse or the mule, which has no understanding and must be harnessed with bit and bridle, else he will not come near you? Look around, church. Why is it that people won't come near the church? That you got to harness them. You got to lasso them babies and reel them in. Got to pull. And it says they're just like horses or mules. They won't even come in. I think it's clear that from the Bible stories that a lot of us are just plain old stubborn. We just plain old deny God and deny his ways. Oh, well, we're over. I'm not a coming in. Why do we do that? We become stagnant when we do that. Worse yet, you propel yourself down a downward spiral when you abjectly just deny God. This is the creator of the world. This ain't some guy on the corner. This is not even your best friend, not your mama. This is the Lord. None of them can compete with what the Lord is telling you, as much as we love these people. This is not some contrived effort. This is the God of creation telling you, I'm going to guide you with my eye. Do you know that the Lord loves you now? If you're 12 years old, he loves you. If you're 99, he loves you. He's got his eye on you. If they're about to put you in a pine box, guess what? The Lord still has love for you eternally. Amen? Come on now. We got to understand these things. And yet we're going to be mule-headed. We're going to be mule-headed when it comes to Jesus? No, y'all. We can be mule-headed. You know the other word for a donkey is a jackass, right? I can say it. Not a bad word, y'all. That's what it is. And sometimes we can be that, can't we? When it comes to obeying the Lord and what God wants us to be. That's how mules behave. Mule-headed. Get you a spot on that old show, Hee-Haw. That's what the Lord is warning us not to do. And we need to take heed to God's word, especially if we call ourselves children of God, because we know better, or at least we should know better, all right? We should know better, all right? Speaking of which, let me share something with you all. This is pretty sad, but Pastor Annalisa, this just happened to us Friday. We had a visit. We had a visit from a young man whom we've known for quite a while, and I just got to put that out because it was kind of sad. My son and him knew each other. He came up to visit, and they came by. And he had a little food and everything, and hadn't seen him in about, I estimate, about how many years, Pastor? 10 to 20 years. 10 years that since we've seen him, okay? Now, when I knew him, I wasn't saved. That was during my rough and tumble times of police work, and, you know, I was pretty guarded, and I was pretty, I was pretty high strung back in those days. I didn't welcome people like I welcome them now. Oh, y'all say he don't welcome them now. No. Stop, y'all. Stop. Y'all know I love y'all. But back then I was bad off. You know, I was bad off. I had some heavy stuff going on, y'all. I wasn't one to be played with. And this young man took to me like as almost like a father. And the little guy, he's about 6'5", 280, so he's a little, but ex-ball player. And he knew then what I don't know now, what I didn't know, he knew about the word, you see. But the point is, some things happen in our lives you know, where we know about God, but we don't follow God. And so now here it is 10, 15 years later, and I see that he stayed where he was. Absolutely no progress. Absolutely lost from where he should be. God is an afterthought. That's so sad. I actually cried. I shed tears because I know God doesn't want that for his children. Somewhere along the line, he stopped moving. Somewhere along the line, he started believing something else, looking in another area, and life has passed him by. And it was so sad. It was so sad that I don't even know how to describe it to you. But when you're near 50 now, and you've put God on the shelf, you're lost. You've got to do a complete turnaround, but you're so set in your ways that who can talk you into it? Now you know what has to happen. God's going to have to do that all the way now. And that's a sad thing, see. And that, I look at our lives now. If we don't hold on to God, there's going to be something missing. There's going to be a huge void in your life. I don't care how rosy things look. I don't care how much money you have. I don't care the job you have. I don't care. You can have millions. Sooner or later, it's all going to evaporate, and it's going to be you standing right there. And what you put your life's hopes in is going to let you down if it's not Jesus. That's the sad part about it. And that is really the truth. I've had opportunities like you wouldn't believe. I've had, and I think the Lord let me see that to know. I've been right there at the top where I could have done this. All it takes was one move. And I wouldn't have ever probably known Jesus. I'd have been somewhere in Hollywood, like the rest of the guys were that I was acting with. I would have made all pro, just like my friend made all pro. But each time the Lord said, not yet, not for you. The business deals that were just given to me would have been enough to sustain for the rest of my life. But I know now that I wouldn't know Jesus. Because I would have had to operate in my own will. You see what I mean? And so the devil will take you out there and lure you away. And God is wanting you to step up. But you're actually moving back. The devil is causing you to take a step back. And I saw that. I saw that in this man and some of the things he was talking about. It was just completely out of whack. And we had no real conversations. Like, have I gone back 15 years in time? But when I looked at Annalisa, I knew better. Because she was like, you know, she. And when she can't speak, you know there's something going on. You ever been so messed up that you forget to pray? It was one of those things, you know. Like, Lord, Lord, you know. So again, we need to know these things because that happened for a reason. And we're not done yet. That we will have a conversation. We will, God willing, I'll get the opportunity today. But I'm saying, we can't leave it undone. We got to work on that. Whether you want to speak to me again in life or not, I've got to tell you the truth because I love you, and that's my job to do it. Hate me if you want to, but at least I've done my job. And when you see people that are just lost and no relationships, broken relationships, putting yourself in danger, been knocked down and scuffed up, and you still don't know where to go get help, there's something wrong, y'all. That's why God is saying, I'm going to guide you with my eye. Come to me. I'll help you. I'll straighten you out. I know the plans I have for you, plans of peace and not evil, to give you a future and a hope, as he says in Jeremiah 29:11. Then he says, I'm the one, if you come to me and pray to me, I'll listen to you. And I'll bring you back from captivity. Do you know how many people are locked down in their own minds right now? The devil has locked them down and they can't step up with God because they've been stepping out with the devil. See? God says, I'm the one that created you. I'm the one that brought you to the dance, not the devil. He's just hanging in there. So we got to know these things, and that's why it's so important that we do what the Lord wants us to do in every situation. We'll turn away from God, and even though we know we need God. And that's what happens. When you do that, your maturity level stays where it is. You're not mature. My daughter, of course, is a lawyer, and she was trained. She has some of the best training in law, but now she's got better training in Jesus Christ. And she said, you know, Dad, she said, you really can't trust spiritually immature people. That's a profound statement. She said, you can't trust immature people with your children. You can't trust them with your affairs. And it made a lot of sense because I saw what this man and other people like him are going through. And as adults, as especially people of God in the church, we can't afford to be that way. We can't afford to know about God yet not follow God. We can't afford to do that. Pastor, take us to this next scripture. Take us to our memory verse, Proverbs 3, verses 5-8. As a matter of fact, can you read that for us? Yeah.
Proverbs 3, verses 5-8 says, mm-hmm. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Now, of course, we quote this verse almost all the time, don't we? How many times a week do you hear this? How many times have you told your family members this verse? How many times have you prayed about it on the prayer line and said amen to it? Praise God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Isn't that what he's saying in the other scripture? I'll guide you with my eye. And the thing is about this scripture, most times we use that first half, don't we? We don't go into the basement and get the other half out. We use that first half, that top half. That's powerful enough, though. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That means all your heart. That means with everything in you, you've got to trust the Lord. Barak didn't do that. Something happened. He wasn't trusting the Lord with all his heart. He must have leaned on his own understanding, because in all his ways, he didn't acknowledge him. He acknowledged Deborah. You see what I mean? Now, we can have our Barak moments in our lives. We have to, anytime I look at the Bible, I look at myself. Anytime I look at King David, I look at me. Anytime I look at Job, I look at me. Anytime I look at somebody, I say, well, could I handle that? Or would I have done better? What can I learn from that? But the first half of this Bible, reading it, it says that to trust in him with all your heart, lean not on your understanding, all your ways, not he'll direct your path. But sometimes I'm not sure if we're taking it to heart. People say we trust in the Lord, in God, enough to let him direct our paths. But when he does direct our paths, we go another way. Why is that? Sometimes we do that. Or sometimes we'll follow that path for a minute. You know, we'll come to church for a minute. We'll come to church maybe for a few sporadic months. Then it can't nobody find you. You're like, your name is Howard Hughes. Just disappear somewhere. Where'd you go? How'd you do that? No reason. Just start missing lectures. Do you know that God has a specific plan for you? Do you know he planted you in this church just like he planted this church? If you're tuning into God, those of you who are watching, if you really access God and you belong to a church, praise God. But you must believe that God put you in that church. I hope you're not sitting in that church for your friends. I hope you're not sitting in that church because it's a popular church. I hope you're not sitting there because of the goodies that they serve. I hope you're sitting there because you believe in your heart that that's the place for you to be, that God put you in that church. So if that's the case, how in the world can you miss coming to church? How? How can you arbitrarily take a vacation? I can't take a vacation. God has to order me to take a vacation. If I got to limp into this bad boy, I know that this is my assignment. Come on now. And you say, well, you the pastor, you should be. Well, yeah, but you're a minister just like me, so you should be too. You just ain't standing behind the pulpit. But you're a child of the Most High God. You're the one that he's going to send out. You're the witness for God. He said, go into all the nations and baptizing them, every creature, even the dog. So come on. How are we going to take time off from the timekeeper? How are we going to take time off from him who designed time? Come on now. This word says, trust in him with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. You know what that means? Don't you even think about it. That's what it means. We do some things sort of haphazardly. The Lord told me, don't treat me like a man. Don't treat me like a common man. You can come to me, Joel Jones, but don't talk to me like I'm a man. I'm not a man. He had to get me right a long time ago, and I get it. I understand it. He's the creator of the world. He's sovereign. And all the hallelujahs in the world won't help us if we're not following his will. All the catchphrases, I decree and declare. Don't tell me. Show me. That's what he's saying. Tell me you decree and declare. That's a popular one. Declare yourself in church. Declare yourself in Bible study. Declare yourself in prayer. Declare yourself when nobody else shows up. Declare yourself. Dare yourself to walk up in that place. Dare yourself to be on the prayer line. Dare yourself to stand in the gap for somebody. That's what he's talking about when he says stepping up. It's enough to go around. We can't afford to miss lectures. You miss a lecture, you should feel like you missed something important. Because these scriptures, these lessons are for us. Whatever church you're at, my friends who are watching this, he dropped this in on you to put with whatever your pastor is telling you. Maybe to clarify something that you haven't seen or something you didn't understand. Maybe it's a confirmation, but it ain't no joke. It's not happenstance. When you get to heaven, you're going to wish that you heard it and did it. God is moving. He's giving people dreams. Some people can't get to sleep at night because they're dreaming about the Lord so much. He's coming in ways that you wouldn't understand. He's putting out messages through the people in your church, telling us to trust in me. I've heard people say, "Oh, I just need a break." When you say you need a break from God, that's saying you about to get broke. You about to get broke in. Talking about you need a break. It's God that protects you. It's God that takes care of you. It's God that fortifies you. The devil is waiting to take you out. Waiting to take you down. He'll walk right up to you and spit in your face, won't he, Dave? That's right, he will. You better be ready. You better be ready. We can't afford to forget to pray.
Amen. This is Miracles of God with Pastor Joel Jones, sponsored by Spirit of Truth Church Worldwide in Fairfield, California. Today's message, along with previous broadcasts, are available on demand at spiritoftruthchurchworldwide.com. To connect with us, like and follow us on Facebook. And if Pastor Joel's messages are blessing you, let us know. Submit your comments, testimonies, and prayer requests on our contact page at spiritoftruthchurchworldwide.com. Are you in need of prayer or encouragement? Please call us at 707-759-5244. Miracles of God is a listener-supported program, and we're so thankful for your support. If you haven't had the opportunity to sow a financial seed and have the desire and the means to do so, will you prayerfully consider doing so today? All financial donations are tax deductible and accepted on our secure website where giving is easy. Simply click on the donate button on our website to give today. We appreciate your faithful support and pray the Lord continues to strengthen you as you follow Him. Join us Sundays for live worship services on Facebook at 1 p.m. and Wednesday evenings at 7 for prayer and Bible study at 8 p.m. as we walk through the Bible together. Sunday services are also available on YouTube and at SpiritOfTruthChurchWorldwide.com. And don't forget to tune into Miracles of God next week for the continuation of Stepping Up with Pastor Joel Jones. Until next time.